Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan, here with you till 12 o'clock tonight. Keep getting in touch with the programme on 087 188 0008. Getting loads of WhatsApps in about our previous segment talking about Ireland's obesity problem. A lot of thoughts and opinions out there, and I'm sure we're going to go back to that subject someday soon. I mean, I suppose it's emotive is a word I'd use. But anyway, we're going to move on, and we've got a topic now that I think you're all going to be very interested in now. We heard in the news today that an undercover lorry is going to be introduced to help spot distracted drivers. Now, the unmarked HGV cab will be out on the roads in the next few weeks. So next time you're flicking through your phone and there's a lorry behind you, the driver may actually be spying on you. How do you like that? That's a crazy one. Now, we hear anecdotal reports on the show all the time of mad things people are seen doing while driving. Things like eating a bowl of cereal on the M50 in traffic, doing their makeup and hair. That's one that we always hear about. And watching Netflix. I don't even know how you'd go about doing that. Crazy stuff. Now, it's not funny, though. It's not funny at all, because we have to consider that in the context of our rising road deaths. Now, I read the news on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio and Radio Nova, and sometimes when I'm working the weekends, it's very, very heartbreaking. I mean, I can nearly guarantee that there's going to be a story somewhere in the country, and it just always breaks my heart to have to read it out, because there's families behind all this. Like just yesterday, a motorcyclist in his 50s died in a collision in County Wicklow, and a man in his 30s died following a crash near Eden Derry in County Offaly last night. Now these tragedies, they brought the number of people who have died on Irish roads so far this year to a shocking 79. Like, nobody in their right mind thinks that's normal. Now, that's an increase of 16 on the same period last year, when 63 people died in our roads. Now, that's like the families and friends that are impacted by this loss of life. It's devastating. You know, there are no words. OK, so it had us wondering here at Nighttime Talk, is this new lorry enough? You know, it's a start, but do we need to go further? You know, for example, how would you feel about mandatory dash cams on every car? Right. So you're driving along and every single car has a mandatory dash cam. Is it a possible solution? You know, would it work? Like, if we were all conscious that we were being recorded, would fewer lives be lost? Now, I know what everyone's going to say about this, because the first thing that everyone in the office said tonight when we knew we were going to be talking about this is privacy. OK, we've got cameras everywhere. There's CCTV on the corner of every road. Right. Now, you don't want a nanny state, but, you know, it's necessary. There are certain things that are necessary. Like, we need to know what's happening on our streets. We need to know what's happening on our public transport. And, you know, a lot of people would say once the cameras come on, they never turn them off. So we want to know what you think. What are your solutions to the increasing number of deaths on Irish roads? And would you support mandatory dash cams? Would you support more intervention from the government when it comes to this? Now, I've got Dave on the line, so I'm going to go to Dave. Now, Dave, you're not sure that they should be mandatory, but do you think dash cams are a good idea in general?
Hello,
Dave. Go ahead there. I can hear you.
Oh, no, sorry. My phone crapped out there for a second.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Maybe if we said, like, they're going to be mandatory in, like, 3 years. You know what I mean? Just give a bit of a grace period for people to get used to the idea of having them in their cars. You know, no, a lot of people have them now. Anyway, but just, what I don't like the idea of is, say they make it mandatory in the morning, someone doesn't get one, or they don't think to get one, they're not used to having one in their car, they have a bit of a tape, and then it gives the insurance company an excuse to wash their hands of them. That's the only issue I would have, you know. Because you know yourself, like, if you have something with your car, the first thing your insurance company is going to do is try to get out of paying for it.
Right. So you think that, like, say somebody got a dash cam, and, like, if you were to do it of your own free will, well, you'd be okay with that, wouldn't you? If people went out and got their own dash cams.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. I have one myself, like.
You have one yourself?
I have a front and a back one. I have two. I have one on the front and one behind.
And have you ever needed to use them?
I haven't, but I've had a couple of close calls where I'd be like, do you know what, if this was an accident, thank God I have this here.
Right.
Do you know? And I mean, they're fairly small. They're very inexpensive. I mean, you can buy a half decent one for under 50 quid now, to be fair. Do you know?
They're fairly cheap and they're fairly easy to install, you know. But how would you feel about how do you feel about the privacy question?
Well, what privacy? I mean, what kind of privacy are you losing while you're driving your car? Do you know? And I mean, technically, you're out in a public space anyway, so the same laws that would, you know, keep you safe in regards to taking pictures, say, in a park or on a busy street would still apply, wouldn't they?
I suppose they would, you know, but if they were mandatory now, that'd be a different story, wouldn't it? Because every single car would be required by law to have a dash cam built into it. And I find it kind of funny in a sense that, like, all these new electric vehicles, to my knowledge, they're absolutely covered in cameras, aren't they? I mean, these Teslas and all that, they already have cameras.
Cameras and safety features. Like, I had a guy rode off my car there just before New Year's, and I had a loaner car out, you know, from just a car hire place. And I'll be honest with you, I've never had a car that looked out for me so much before, because there was cameras on the front, cameras behind, and it had this, like, lane assist thing of, oh, I was going too far, like, to the line on the other side. The car itself would automatically pull me back into the middle of the road. Do you know?
Yeah. And do you think those... do you think those technological innovations are helpful for safety on the roads? Or they make it more complicated?
Help. Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Because, you have cars now. If you're going too close to someone, you know, your car is going to automatically apply the brakes. That's fine, but how many people out there have that kind of a car? I mean, like, I went from, you know, a nearly brand new car that I had a loan of for a while back to a 10 that doesn't even have Bluetooth. Do you know? So not every car, and it'll be a long, long time, maybe another 10 or 15 years before people, you know, like, have cars with those kind of safety features are going to be so ubiquitous, so to speak. Do you know? So, you know, but, like, when you keep talking about the, like, road deaths, which it's horrendous how many people are dying on the roads, but, like, is there, like, one root cause? Like, is there one thing in particular? Like, is it, you know, drink? Is it the state of the roads? Is it speeding? You know, or is it kind of a multifaceted issue, as these things might be?
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult one for the government to tackle. But how would you feel about this lorry that's being proposed to go out on the road and to just be sort of incognito? You wouldn't quite know, because you know the way when you're driving down the road and there's a lorry behind you, you know, it could be delivering something, it could be doing whatever, but this lorry is taking information. It's going around looking for people who are breaking the law. Are you okay with that idea, or does it creep you out a little bit?
I know you're probably going to have people on going, oh, that's some real Big Brother stuff, but at the same time, I mean, you are driving a 1.5-ton potential killing machine, you know. So, I mean, if they have them dotted around the roads and they're catching people speeding, or they're catching people acting a maggot or whatever, I don't necessarily think it's not really something you can really claim you're losing your rights over, because, I mean, if you are speeding or you are dangerous driving or acting the bollocks, I mean, you know, the implications of what you're doing could, you know, you could potentially kill another person or kill yourself or cause a lot of damage. You know, like, if you're driving okay and you're driving normal, you shouldn't really have anything to worry about, should you?
Well, there you go. You've got nothing to hide. So that's the old argument about, you know, CCTV and that. Look,
not really a great one, because you could also say with that one, like, you know, if the guards knocked on your front door and said, could we come in to search your house? Sure, if you've nothing to hide, you should let them do it. I don't really think it's the same as that. Do you know what it is? It's just kind of like, I'd rather see more guards on the road, to be honest with you, and more of a police presence. So people might think, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't drink and drive, or maybe I shouldn't drive, you know, 50, 60 kilometres over the speed limit, because I might meet the guards. I think a more visible guard of presence on the roads might help as well. But, like, what I like to know is, like one issue I find with driving nowadays is, like we were saying about modern cars, the lights on a lot of these modern cars, when they're coming against you, even with the dip lights on, they nearly blind you for a few seconds.
They're very bright, aren't they?
Yeah, and I just wonder, like, have there been accidents caused by them? Does anybody know? Because I know they say, like, you know, 79 people dying on the roads, like, this, you know, like, this far into the year is a horrible thing. But what are the causes of these accidents? You know, like, that's what I like, because you always hear about X amount of people have died, you know, blah, blah, blah. But why? Why did it crash? Did they hit a pothole? You know, did they, were they speeding? Was someone drunk? Was, you know, a couple of young lads acting the maggot in the car? You know, they always kind of leave that very kind of up in the air, you know.
I think the Road Safety Authority would say that it's speed is the big problem. We can't seem to get people to slow down. That seems to be the problem.
But I wonder, though, like, the conditions of the roads we have, like, that has to play a part in it. That has to be a factor because, I mean, some of the roads, like, around where I live are just in absolute, you know, like, one good spill of rain and you're you know, trying to dodge, like, yokes that look like a crater on the moon, you know.
Whereabouts in the country are you, Dave?
Tipperary.
Tipperary, right. And have you lobbied the local councillors in that about the state of the roads? Is it a topic of discussion down there?
Sure, listen, you're pissing into the wind. You know what I mean? You're like, lads, there's a pothole there. I mean, I hit a pothole on the way to work one morning. It was full of water and it nearly blew the shock clean out through the bonnet of the car. Yeah. It was that bad. And I wasn't speeding. I was just driving normal when I got in contact with the council because I was like, well, you know, it's your job to keep the roads like good. Any chance, you know, like you pick up the, you know, the tab for fixing it. And they basically say, oh, look, tough shit. We're covered in their act of God. And then all they do is they get a couple lads in a truck, fill it with a bit of tarmac, sure, one more spill of rain, and it's opened again. Like.
Yeah. All right, Dave. I'm going to go to Jackie. And now, Jackie, you think we should have them. And you've got a story to tell us. Go ahead there, Jackie.
No, I was just thinking that all cars should have dash cams on because I don't know whether it was last year or the year before, but there was this fella and he was on a push bike in town and he just, the fella with the dash cam was just stopped at the traffic lights and this fella on his bike just came straight over and jumped, you know, crashed into his car and called guards and all. He didn't even know that the fella had the dash cam. Until the guards came, like, I mean, he was doing that for so long, trying to get claim.
So you're saying the dash cams clear up any confusion when it comes to incidents that may happen on the road?
Definitely, and in car parks as well. Like, I mean, there's people out there and they're in car parks and they're driving really slow, going out of the car park and waiting for a car to reverse. And as soon as they see the car reversing, they go up and the car that's reversing bangs straight into them, but it wouldn't have been their fault at all. That's happening too in car parks.
And do you drive yourself, Jackie, yeah?
I do, yeah.
And do you have a dash cam?
No, not yet.
Do you think you'll get one after chatting?
You know, I don't drive that much. I only drive when I have to, if you know, I have my car, but I'd be lost if it wasn't there, if you know what I mean.
So it's like a comfort. No. It's a comfort.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I kind of only drive from A to B. I don't work. So if I did start working or anything like that or going on long distances, well, then I would.
And what would you say if the government said to you, look, you're going to have to go out now and buy one and put it in? That's the law.
That would be no problem. I think I'd do. I'd keep on putting it off all the time. I'd feel safer with one on, like now what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's being proposed. And how do you feel about this idea that there'd be a lorry driving around the country and it'd be pulling up behind you, keeping an eye on what you're doing in the car? I'm sure you're doing nothing dodgy there, Jackie. I'm just saying to you, how would you feel about a lorry driving around, keeping an eye on people?
Yeah, well, that'd be great. Like, I mean, I'd have nothing to worry about and because I don't speed. I go with the, you know, if it's 60, 80, 100 or whatever, I do the speed limit, but I don't think other people don't. And like some of the people don't even use indicators when they're driving. So, yeah, I'd feel more safe if there was a lot of them around.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Jackie, stay with me there because I want to go over to Joseph. Now, Joseph, you say that you will only agree to a mandatory dash cam if the politicians get them installed on them.
Yes, so the politicians are always going on about democracy and democracy and democracy and democracy. I'm so sick of these people talking about democracy. So if they really believe in democracy, when they're inside in those ministerial meetings, making their decisions, let them have dash cams on, and we can see how, while they're coming to their conclusions and how they're making the laws. That's democracy. So when they do that, then I might think about getting, you know, I still don't agree to mandatory dash cams. Now, by the way, a truck driving around, everybody should read the book 1984. I just suggest to people, please read the book 1984.
Well, we got a few WhatsApps suggesting that as well on 087-188-0008. So, they said the same thing.
I mean,
thing.
Oh my God, if anyone thinks that it's okay for a truck to be driving around spining you, my God, have you no sense of freedom? Do you not understand what it is to live in a totalitarian state? We are now heading for North Korea. That's not alarm bells, by the way. That's reality. You're going to be... I mean, if someone thinks that that's okay, I'm actually shaking my head going, oh my God, have we lost all sense of freedom? Do we have any idea what totalitarianism is? What, I don't know what the saying is exactly, but it is, he who gives up some freedoms for security will get neither and deserves none.
And what would you say then, Joseph, if they came back and they said, look, we're just trying to save lives. You know, we're just looking
It's nothing to do with saving lives. The second I saw on the news about the increased deaths on the roads, I mean, oh, shit, this is what totalitarian stuff are they going to bring in? I knew it's totalitarianism. It's nothing. The government couldn't give two flying damns about life, right? They couldn't care less.
If they cared about life.
Sorry?
Do you drive yourself?
I do, yeah.
And do you have a dash cam?
No.
Would you think of getting one? Just for yourself now. Not mandatory, but would you think about having one?
I thought about it, but I do know now how the whole digital thing works. So you're being, so the dash cam, the cams on your door, they're all linked up and it's you're under complete surveillance, so it's the same with the dash cams. They're all linked up. They're complete data download. They're tracking you. So, for example, now the insurance now wants to know what mileage you're doing per year. That's not their business. Once upon a time, you could go in and get insurance according to your driving record, accidents. Now they want to know what mileage you're doing. So everything is about clamp down. So now when you're driving into a town or a village, the speed bumps are not lit up. Right? They're not. They should be in big orange and yellow, the fluorescent light. You know, the way reflective lights, so you can see them. No, they're very badly lit. They're designed to break your car. There's no two ways about it. And they're taking away all the car park spaces. They're taking away the streets that you can drive on. And in the streets you can drive on, they're reduced down to where it's actually dangerous. It's hard to actually drive that slowly. We're now entering a totalitarian state, and freedom of speech is gone with the hate laws. This truck spying you. Oh my God, I'm actually in shock that someone thinks that it's a good idea that a trucks are driving. That's North Korea, people. Trucks driving around spying you, and it will be. Look, all you have to go back to is remember the NCT. Always just about to get you. Make sure your tires are okay in your car. And the brakes are okay. Now the NCT goes through everything with a fine-tooth comb and it's like a little bulb is gone or anything. They'll fail you for everything. That's what's going to happen.
It sounds eventually... to me like, Joseph, you believe that some people, I don't know who, but some people don't want you to be driving at all. They don't want cars on the road.
Yes, the Green Party, for example, who are funded by Communist China, their policy is to take away all cars.
Well, it's important to say that we can't stand behind that now. We don't know where the Green
Party is. No, that's what I'm saying. I've read that document only recently now. That's actually been proven. So, and I'll tell you why they do it. Because Communist China wants to deindustrialize the West and sell us all junk, which is called green, such as these wind turbines, solar panels, which are not green, by the way. They're utterly toxic and an environmental disaster. And they're selling us all of this. Meanwhile, they're building two coal power plants a week.
I'd say chances are any dash cam you'd be buying are probably made in China. But stay on the line there, Joseph. I'm going to get Mickey in on this. Now, Mickey, you don't agree with mandatory dash cams either, do you?
Well, I don't. And first off, Garrett, welcome to the show. Your staff have been trying to ring me a few times, but I was kind of wary because I've known and chatted to Niall for many years. So, was like to say welcome. No, I agree with Joseph, some of what Joseph was saying, but this North Korea, I don't agree with. I think a lot of them are trying to catch up with technology, what's going on in the world. Obviously, technology is moving on. What he just said about wind turbines, I'm living here in Gweedore in County Donegal, and I'm looking out my window there. It's still a bit bright out, and there's about 10 of them there, and it's blocking my view of Mount Errigan.
The wind turbines?
And the energy isn't... The wind turbines here...
So you're not happy about the wind turbines they put in, are you?
Yeah, energy. None of us in this area are, because the energy doesn't go to us. It's been siphoned off to somewhere else. But when it comes down to this being like North Korea and the HTV, the English police and that and other place in Europe have been doing that for years.
Right.
They've had trucks going around for years, and that's how they can look down in the top. I don't agree with that. But with the dash cams now... I think that's just another form of keeping track. It's like this, the new license they're bringing in. Well, it's not going to be mandatory, but at the end of the year, this new electronic license, and that is just, it's all, the way you see, it's all about gathering information. I wouldn't be one of these tinfoil hat people now, but there's a certain extent
I want. Do you have a mobile phone, Mickey?
Oh, I do have a mobile phone. Yeah, well, I understand that when you click terms and conditions, etc., you're agreeing to this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But there's only one social media. I have Facebook, and that's it. The amount of people ask me, oh, TikTok, Instagram, and all that. Facebook is enough for me. I'm in the 40s. That's the friends and family around the world. And to get my little points across, that's what I use.
So you wouldn't be happy if the government said, listen, Mickey, you've got a car... You've got to do your NCT, you've got to do your bits and bobs. Here's another thing you have to do.
Oh, well, I've actually two cars. I've one that's nearly going to be a classic soon. And speaking of that, I was actually up in a... I take it out very rarely when there's a bit of good weather. And I was at a local supermarket a few weeks ago. And I was just coming out of the car park. And the way to come out of the car park, there was a car sitting in front of me. So obviously I set him way to him to move. And next thing, he stuck his reversing lights on and... straight into me bumper. And I obviously got out saying, what the heck are you doing, etc, etc. And he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't see you behind me. Luckily enough, there was no damage.
Yeah.
And I kind of said...
You don't have a dash cam,
right.
Do you?
I don't have a dash cam, and I wouldn't get a dash cam, to be honest with you. I don't see you needing it. I think that they need to go back to the root of the problem. They need to educate. And as I said, I live in a rural... And Donegal, as... most people know, has one of the highest road deaths in the country.
It does indeed. And unfortunately, as I was saying, it's out of control and it's terribly, terribly sad and it's heartbreaking for the families and that. And we have to do something about it. What would you think is a good solution?
When it comes to young people, I think education is a big part of it. Something like America has the driver's ed, etc. I mind years ago, I worked for an insurance company in Galway, Security. I won't mention their name for obvious reasons, but they had it where as young drivers, they used to be able to put a thing in their car and their insurance was, you know, if they were breaking speed limits or et cetera, excessive driving and all that, it kept their insurance down. Older people, and I'm afraid to say it because my own dad, he's 70 and he's actually went and bought a dash cam a couple of weeks ago. And I asked him, why'd you buy that? Ah, it'd be handy to have. And he's driving since he was a young kid. But I noticed that there's a few times I'd be going up to pick my kids up from school, and in one part there's like a junction where we live, where there's a supermarket and the car park. You have to reverse out onto the main road.
Yeah.
And there'd be elderly people a shop in there, and they just blindly reverse straight out onto the road. Don't look where they're going. So I think
and
a
if
certain
there was,
age,
if there
I
was
think,
a, if
should
there
be
was
rechecked.
An accident, Mickey, in that scenario that you just laid out, if there was an accident and there was confusion
right.
over who was right and who was wrong, would a dash cam not help to solve it?
In certain extents it would, but most places like that have CCTV cameras all around the place, you know?
So you
like
think you get the footage from somewhere?
I used to live in Dublin for a long time, hence the accent. I'm actually Donegal originally. But most places I had a car up there, and any long trips I'd done, I got the bus instead of driving the car. And even here in Donegal now, because Letterkenny is about 45 minutes drive, you have to drive out the back of Errigal, and the roads are absolutely atrocious. Part of it, you have to drive in the middle of the road if there's no other cars coming, because you're going to end up with bloody God knows what wrong with your car.
You're not the first person to say that tonight about the state of the roads. They're very bad.
That's what I was listening to. And it's, as I said, especially here in Donegal and in Gweedore, we're a forgotten part of Donegal. And I know people say Donegal is a forgotten county. Gweedore is the forgotten part of Donegal.
It's a beautiful part
and
of Ireland.
Absolutely. And it's the most beautiful part, Gaelic speaking. That's why I brought my kids back here to learn our language. And if I'm going out to Letterkenny, the kids want to go out to the cinema or something like that, we get the bus. I don't bother driving the car.
Do you feel safe on the road up in Donegal?
No. No, I don't.
Do you see a lot of speeding?
No. Sorry?
Do you see a lot of speeding?
I wouldn't put it in that type of word. It's just, there's the councillors around here, there's a couple of independents, and all you see, they're talking, they're all doing this with the roads and doing that, but they're not doing it with the main access roads and that. They're doing little by roads that maybe a handful of people use.
Yeah.
And it gets frustrating because our eldest daughter turned 18 there, and she was lucky enough, the school that she was in here, when she turned 17, they had where they could sign up, and they were brought out to a special track, and they were given lessons on how to drive and stuff, and went and helped them go and get the provisional license and stuff like that. I think that should be, that's what should be mandatory.
And would you encourage her to drive, to get into a car, would you?
Oh yeah, I would. I'd brought her up because she has her provisional license now. I've often brought her up to the factories, and the factories here in Donegal, half of them are closed, and so it's very quiet. And in the evening, the odd evening, I'd bring her up, and I'd teach her the little basics like reversing and all that. But I've been told, don't get a car. Wait until you get your full license. Go get your get all your lessons done that's needed to do. And then, because it's at the end of the day, for any young person, as you know, it's extortionate to try and get on the road now. They're trying to make it impossible for young people to get on the road.
Well, you make a few good points there, Mickey. Stay with me there, because I want to talk to you again about Donegal, but I want to go to John. Now, John, you spend an awful lot of your day on the road, and you say that you see it all. Tell us, what do you be seeing out there? You say it's shameful.
Well, you would not believe what, as a person, as a driver, what I see.
Yeah.
Like, where should I start? First thing that I want to start on is that people, Ireland just makes me laugh when it comes to driving tests. Because the people in Ireland, I believe, are not taught how to drive. They're taught how to pass a driving test. And that inexperience comes all the way down the line. Now they have, it's mandatory now that you have to do 12 lessons, and then you can apply for your test, right? That's the first thing. So when you pass your test, you can now drive a car onto the M50, having never driven on a motorway in your life, not knowing the rules of a motorway, not knowing the difference between a dual carriage and a motorway. Because I guarantee you, if you ask, I'd say a good 80% of the people that drive cars on roads, on public roads in Ireland, do they know the difference between a dual carriageway and a motorway? I guarantee you, most of them wouldn't even know.
And do you think this manifests itself on the roads? As you say, you're out there 12 to 15 hours a day.
Right.
What sort of stuff do you see, John? What was the most egregious thing you saw recently that said, you said to yourself, that person does not belong on the road?
Right, one incident that happened to me about 6 months ago. I drive a 40-foot Arctic lorry. There's some turnings, now I drive timber logs.
Right.
So some of the places we go are very small, very narrow roads. You've local people that, right, fair enough, they're used to having the road to themselves at the weekends or whatever, but we get told that we have to go to a forest. So there could be five or six of us heading for that forest, and we have to go down a local road. Now, in order for me to take that turn, I have to take up the middle of the road. But you've got six, seven cars behind you who are all in a rush to get to work. But I've put my indicator on in plenty of time. I put my hazards on. I move into the middle of the road. I can actually see up around the bend because I'm up high. I can see what is coming. There was nothing coming. I started taking the turn. The people behind me could see I was taking a wide turn. What happens? A car comes up. Now, you're talking about dash cams. Only for I had a dash cam is what saved me. I'm not going to go to ageism or anything like that, but a young guy who had passed his test 3 weeks before in a 142 Audi A4 2-litre turbo diesel ran straight into the front of me. And do you know how the dash cam saved me? On the footage of the accident, the guards were able to measure, plus on the road, but this was a factual video. He skidded 120 metres, and he could have gone the left-hand side of me or the right-hand side of me. There was enough room, but he didn't. He hit me head-on. And I sat there with my hands on the steering wheel saying, and do you know what's the first thing he said to me when he got out? Sorry about that, I was on my phone. I was texting.
Good God.
And was anyone hurt, true. John? Was anyone hurt?
No, fortunately enough, there was nobody hurt. But that is as true as I am sitting here. He came around and just didn't expect me to see, didn't expect. And the first thing he admitted to the guard, he wasn't breathalyzed, his form wasn't checked. And what did he say to the guard? Oh, the ABS is faulty.
Right.
He said the ABS light was on the dashboard. So the guard asked me what happened. I said to him, I showed him, look, I can't take that left turn unless I take up the middle of the road. There is a broken white line in the middle of the road. Apart from that, it's an unbroken white line, which means no overtaking. Yeah. That's another thing that is not stressed enough in this country when it comes to driving. I've driven all over Europe. I've done the continent for 15 years.
Well, John, I don't want to interrupt you, but I do have to run to a quick break. But I want to keep you on the line because, as you say, you've driven all over Europe and you've got a unique insight into what we're dealing with here. So I want to talk to you a little bit more after the break. Would you stay with me?
I will do, yeah.
Good man, John. Thanks very much. Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Keep getting in touch on 087-188-0008 here on Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan. Now, before the break, we were talking about all things road in Ireland, really. Driving, mandatory dash cams, spying lorries going around, looking at how people are behaving on the roads. And we have John on the line. Now, John, before the break, you were telling me that you've driven all over Europe, haven't you? And you see all sorts of things on the road. Tell us a little bit about what you think is going wrong out there.
Inexperience. But people think they know it all. If you were behind me, Gary, and you've seen, you're going along, I'll give you an instance. If you're coming from a dare up to Limerick, and you come onto the dual carriageway, just to bring us back to a further point that I made, the difference on a motorway and a dual carriageway, not a lot of people know this, but obviously the motorway is signed in blue. A dual carriageway is signed in green. A dual carriageway you can turn right on. A motorway you can't turn right on. So you're coming from Adair towards Limerick. You're on a dual carriageway. It's motorway first, and then it becomes a dual carriageway. When you come down to the split, where you turn left for Galway or right for Dublin or Bird Hill or that direction, the road splits in two, left and right. You've got one lane that from the last junction in clear blue, it says up above N7 Dublin that direction, and you have loads of time. Everybody plays ball and you get in one by one, and then you get that one person that'll drive up and try and escape all the traffic, and they think that it's great fun and a lorry that's carrying 30 tons of timber logs that are sitting torpedoes. You have an amount of people that come along and think, oh, the lorry's the easy target. I'll just flash me in the care, pull in, or not even flashing in the care, I'll just pull in and I'll make him jam on the brakes. And what is that going to do? That's going to make my whole load move if it's not secured properly. So when I'm securing that load, I have to think ahead. But this person could be a minute late for work or a minute later or just want to get in front of you. Why? Because they haven't got the experience of driving a vehicle this size with that amount of weight on. Now, can you imagine sitting in, say, a little Nissan Micra, and you have a 30-ton payload plus in the region of between 15 and 17 ton of steel of a cab going to hit you from behind with your little kids in the back and your wife in the front or whatever the scenario is, and that driver can't stop that vehicle just because you wanted to jump in front of them and you thought it was an easy target. I think that in this country, when people are taking car tests, they should be even sat in the driver's seat of a lorry and show them what blind spots a lorry driver has. A car coming in from my left-hand side, down below me. Now, there's 5 steps up into my lorry. That's how high I am. I can't see a pedestrian directly in front of my lorry. I have a specialised mirror on the front so that I can look down and see. But it's up to me to check if a pedestrian is walking across in front of me. Because we also have the scenarios of these towns were never built for lorries like this. The infrastructure in Ireland on the roads at the moment is improving, but it's not for the traffic that's on it.
Well, that's what I want to ask you, John.
You take the village of Adair.
John, you've driven all over Europe. And do you think that there's a difference, or do you see a notable difference between each country that you're in? Are there countries where people really are good drivers and countries where it's desperate?
Yes. Yes. And it's not about speed either. Everybody thinks it's about speed.
Right. And Ireland isn't a very good one for you then, that, in your opinion, from what I can gather.
No.
You don't think we're very good here at it at all.
No, not at all. And like, as I said, I do it for a living. I'm on the road 12 to 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I see it. And I call them silly hours because I could be on the road at 5 o'clock in the morning. Most mornings I am. And it's kind of quiet. Everybody's going along about their business. Come 6 o'clock, it starts getting a bit busier. People are rushing. Indicators on roundabouts. People wonder why there's everybody sitting at traffic on a roundabout. There should be no traffic on a roundabout. That's the reason why the roundabout is there. So everybody gives way when they're going around the roundabout.
And John, what do you think?
I'm in a lorry that has that much weight, and I told you earlier on about the weight,
yeah,
the capacity of it. So I'm at a roundabout, and I'm trying to pull out. Now, it takes 3 gears to get out onto the roundabout and get round that roundabout before I get to the exit. And I have cars coming round at me, no indicator on. They've come right the way around the roundabout, and they start beeping. They pull across in front of me because I've started coming out on the roundabout because they've no indicator on. And then they just drive off, no indicator on, and the fist up, pumping, that I'm the idiot, that I'm the one that can't drive. But yet, they don't know how to use an indicator on a roundabout.
So, John, do you think mandatory dash cams would make a jot of difference to your experience?
A massive difference.
It would make a difference.
A massive difference.
So
yes.
If everybody was,
and I think
watched,
every
think
vehicle should have them. Yeah.
Right.
Because everything then can be proved. That person that come around the roundabout with no indicator on becomes into my vision of the dash cam. And I can turn around and say, well, that person wasn't using an indicator. So how am I meant to know where they're going?
Yeah,
I know you give right to people. You give way to people that's on the roundabout. I know that.
Yeah.
But 90% of the people go round the roundabout, no indicator on, and think, as long as I know where I'm going, that's the main thing.
Okay.
I'm a great lad. And
okay,
I have the coffee in one hand. and probably texting, most of the time texting in another hand.
Well,
rushing
John,
to get to work.
John, thanks for that. It's great to talk to someone that has such extensive experience of the roads, not just in Ireland, but indeed across all of Europe. So I want you to stay with me, John, because I'm going to go to Paul. Now, Paul, you think it's mass surveillance, the idea of mandatory dash cams. Tell us why it's mass surveillance.
Well, to be honest, Jerry, I know it wasn't the government that wanted this brought in, but I believe that it was like in Britain, the police forces were given out, you know, these doorbell cams?
Yeah.
To pick up the street from, yeah. Why do you think the police were giving them out? Now, they would say it's to stop crime. Fair enough, we've to stop crime. We don't want to see people getting burgled or people being killed on the streets or attacked. Fair enough. But we can't have mass surveillance of everyone. You know, Harris and McEntee that are in government now, they are two of the biggest dictators that ever came into government in this country. That's their profit, that's their character, I can see it in them. They're total they would like to be total dictators. That Harris has lost.
Paul, I don't think you can be going around calling them dictator, because they're just they're democratically elected TDs, and you can boot them out or vote them in, whichever way you want to do it. So they're not dictators.
Well, No, but they'd like to be dictators. That's their kind of character. That's what I'm saying. I know they're not dictators. They'd like to be. And hopefully, after the next election, we'll see the back of McEntee and Harris, number one. And I'll tell you, if you wanted a vote for that party, Pascal Donoghue was the man to be put in. He's the kind of character, I thought to give him the leadership. But this Harris, he was at the same crack when COVID was on, for example.
But
he was telling us all how to live, if you look back.
So you wouldn't be into the idea of dash cams on every car, even though the government wouldn't they wouldn't have any access to the footage. The dash cams are there basically for the insurance companies if there's an accident. So like if somebody says, look, you went into my car and I went into your car and it's their word against yours, you've got some proof. And also the idea I think behind it is just to keep an eye on people, because people who feel like they're being watched tend to behave better. I think it's more of a psychological question than a power question. What do you say to that, Paul?
Well, I drove for a living one time for 8.5 years, you know. I've a C&D license. I don't have the CE license like that man that was talking there before. I drove for a living. I was on the roads a lot like that man. And everyone wants to be safe, you know. I met fellas at night time, thinking back, you know, 20 years ago. And they were on the wrong side of the bloody road. I remember one night I was driving. I was on a main road. 4 a.m. in the morning, this guy was on the wrong side of the road. I just drove over, there was no other vehicles, it was a long stretch so I could see well. I just pulled over the other way and he just drove by me. He probably more than likely was drunk, I would say. Yeah. Didn't even know he was on the wrong side of the road, you know. So we all prefer to be safe. You know, I drive a private car now, I'd sooner be safe on the road. But the problem with this government we have, if everyone is going around with cameras, the next thing is they'll bring in some law that says that they can confiscate footage, you know?
Right.
Like, everywhere you go now, you're under surveillance with cameras. Some people might agree with it. Personally, myself, I'm not a criminal. You know, I'm not going around robbing people or anything. Maybe people would say, well, for safety of people on the streets, we need all these cameras. Maybe that's true. But the problem is we're going down the road in this country of an authoritarian state. They're actually telling us all how to live now. Like what one man said there earlier, this hate speech law, for example. You know, you can't say what, you know, your freedom of speech. As what's your man in America that runs Twitter, what's it called, X now, Musk. He said, freedom of speech is where you allow people to say what you do not like. And Harris, McEntee and the government we have today, including Martin, actually.
Well, Paul,
Martin has lost the plot too.
Paul, well, you got your say there.
You know,
now. You got your say anyway. But now we know what you think about dash cams. I want to move on to Derry-Ann for a minute. Derry-Ann, you're on there. What do you think about these mandatory dash cams?
No, I have to say, well, what I'll say about them is 1984, arrest my case. And, you know, going back there, listen to, I think it was Eddie, who said he was driving and he was giving all these incidents of people coming around roundabouts and not being able to drive. I wish all these people would leave their egos out the flipping window.
Who now?
And really...
Who? The people that
Pardon?
Are... Who do you mean? Who should leave their ego out the window? The people that are making the mistakes on the roundabout?
No, the people who are judging them.
Oh, okay.
Because if we continue to do that, I rest my case. What are we doing? We're all saying, oh, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong. Everybody's wrong. I was on the road for a long time, and one of the situations I came across was I was driving, I can't remember where it was, somewhere in Mayo, and it was from one town to another town on a very narrow road. And this truck came up behind me, and he tried to overtake me. And he was really aggressive, and I said, okay, pull in, let him go, I'm not going there. And I let him. And he took off as if, you know, like I don't know what. Anyway, a couple of miles later, I came across the same guy crashed at the side of the road where he had jackknifed. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, I got out of my car. I went over and I said, excuse me now, you passed me at a very fast speed. And all the people who were there supporting him turned to me, and I said nothing. I said, go on. And I went over then to where there was a guard, and it turned out that what had happened was he had taken off after me, went a few miles later, and then was about to overtake another car, and the car on the other side of the road pulled back in so quickly that he jackknifed. But that car had a woman in it who was bringing her daughter and son, or daughter and son-in-law, home, who had a new baby. And he was putting the blame on that woman for causing the accident. So I actually said, nope, I want to go to the guard station. I gave my statement. And a couple of months later, I got a lovely bunch of flowers from that woman thanking me, because the guy who had tried to overtake me, he had got ahead and he had admitted that he was in the wrong, because he knew I knew what he, you know, about his speeding. So I don't think we need these cameras.
We don't
and I
need
think,
them.
I think we, no. Look, we've enough cameras.
So you think that people just need to give each other enough respect? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's not going to happen. Right. If the RSA were sincere, why are we every single day? I nearly got knocked down twice by those scooters on a footpath in an area where I live.
Yeah.
Then I was in a park, and four girls came behind me. I was walking, and they were on those scooters. And again, I nearly got knocked down. And now they shouldn't have been in the private park. Why are they not being monitored? They're out there. They're wearing dark clothes. Apparently a law came in that they have to have a license. That's a joke. So, and by the way, I have had a very close relative who died in a crash off a motorbike because of negligence on the behalf of a driver. But we won't go there. But what I'm saying is, I understand the horribleness of losing somebody to these road deaths. But I honestly, I'm ashamed of the RSA. They do nothing to try to eradicate this problem. And I have no problem. If they want to meet me, I'll meet them. And why are those scooters still on the road? Why are they there you know, all in black, no helmets, no highlights, nothing, and they're not being policed. Why is that going on?
Well, I think a lot of people, Darianne, would agree with you about the e-scooters. And we were talking about that tonight when we were having our meeting before the show about the whole idea of cyclists and e-scooters and that. We wanted to just stick with the dash cam idea and the invasion of privacy, but it's a relevant... Darianne, it's a very relevant point you raised, and we will definitely talk about it soon. I mean, I can see a lot of people that have been getting in touch with the show have brought it up as well, so that's certainly one we're going to talk about shortly. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave this particular discussion where it is, and I have to say one thing, that 79 people lost in our roads this year, it's heartbreaking, and I'm sure we'll come back to this. My thanks to Darianne, John, Paul and Mickey for contributing there, but I'm going to take a wee break now for news, and when we come back we're going to be talking about Leo Varadkar wants to get a tattoo, and we're also going to have a brilliant discussion about open relationships with an open relationship expert. So the news is coming up. Get in touch with the show on 087 188 0008, and we'll be back in a bit.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk,
Ireland's classic hits radio.